The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
All right, let's have some fun. It's time for a numbers game. Gil Alexander on a very well-deserved vacation. So I'm in Joe Cirillo alongside Kelly Bidlin, per usual. Kelly, we're going to have a fun 2 weeks here, my man.
Let's go, Joey C. Notes. Welcome back to the show.
I am excited. How about this terrific guest list that Kelly has put together for us? We're going to have Drew Dinzik on here in hour one. John Fanta going to join the show as well in the first hour to talk about a locked and loaded college hoops. Look, college hoops, that's my thing this time of year. I am excited for this Tuesday night action. We've got a little fun NBA action on a Monday night. Luka Doncic, officially a Laker, suits up for the first time. Kelly, what were your thoughts on his debut?
Oh man, it was great to see. It's still shocking. I kept saying, Joe, I don't know that I was really going to be able to mentally get past this trade until I saw him suit up in a Lakers uniform, and we finally got that last night. Look, it was a short debut for Luka, limited minutes, 24 minutes, scores 14 points, did struggle a bit from the field, but it was great to see him out there, and I think this is going to be really interesting to watch the rest of the season. I kept thinking about things throughout the game as I was watching, Joe, and it's. I think if you saw this kind of move at the beginning of the season, you would say that you'd probably see a lot of LeBron and Luka kind of platooning with different units, because I think that'd be the best way to get through the regular season. The problem is in this short stretch before the playoffs, they got to play these two as much together as possible just so they learn how to play off of each other. So I think it's going to be really, really interesting to watch them going forward. I definitely think there's some betting angles to this Lakers team going forward.
Yeah, I mean, 30 games left. It's not like they have a whole lot of time to get acclimated. I think it's enough, but certainly not enough time to afford letting those guys swap in and out. I will say, you talk about numerous betting angles, and we'll dive into them, and I'm sure that you've got a lot of information to drop on us with regard to that. I think LeBron James, his assist numbers are going to be worth looking at the rest of the way. I think that that's probably the best way, because points, any given night, Luka can go for 50. LeBron could take a back seat, only have 18, 20. Lakers could still win by 20-plus points. But I'm going to be looking at LeBron in terms of rebounds and mainly assists the rest of the way.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, you know he's always active everywhere, but I do think we're going to see him. We've seen LeBron do this before, right? It's take a step back a little bit when it comes to scoring and even some of the usage rate stuff just to get other guys more comfortable, and that's going to be so important here down the stretch with Luka. So I like that. The only bet I made last night on the game was I went over on Walker Kessler's rebounds, which did get home. He finished with 12. I think right away with, and this has nothing to do with Luka Doncic, it's the Mark Williams fallout of that trade that the Lakers made to add a big to pair with Luka with a lob threat for him and LeBron to have, and they are so thin when it comes to bigs now in LA that I think that immediately that's going to be what I'm going to look to attack almost every matchup, as long as there's a center on that other side that's going to be able to hit the boards like Walker Kessler does. He finished with 12 rebounds last night, but John Collins, talk about his front court running mate, 11 rebounds, so 23 combined between those guys. I would expect to see that a fair amount with these starting units on the floor. So that's what I'm going to focus on early. Look, I think we've heard a lot of this, Joe. Overs, Lakers team total over. I think all that could apply, but I want to see it play out a little bit more first before I start betting those.
Yeah, pretty funny. Kessler and Collins combined for 23. Utah was still -5 on the glass. The Lakers led by Austin Reeves, he had 9. How are you going to bet Reeves now? Are you going to be looking at him at all with the Doncic deal and with Williams not going through? Is Reeves a guy, boards, threes, anything there that intrigues you?
Yeah, I mean, look, he had a pretty good game last night. He's been on a tear recently. I think it's just naturally, like you brought up with LeBron, right, for looking at rebounds and assists. Naturally, these guys are going to have to take a bit of a step back as Luka finds his footing with the Lakers. Right. Austin Reeves, I think the only way you can look is unders. That was the only way I could look right now, but it's one of those, understand the books are making these adjustments as well, right? They're not idiots. They know what's going on. They know that a high usage rate coming with Luka Doncic, it's going to take the ball out of the hands of Reeves and LeBron a little bit more. So, and you have to adjust those numbers accordingly. So I do expect those to be adjusted, but Austin Reeves is playing great ball right now. So I'm not running to bet unders right now.
Yeah, Reeves is doing well. We've got the Lakers 17-1 to win it all, +750 to win the West. either of those intrigue you? Personally, I think plus 750 to win the conference is very live. And you look at their veteran leadership and their experience, I think that's the major edge against Oklahoma City, who's practically even juice to win the West. Obviously, Denver, they're the only other team shorter than the Lakers at plus 650. I'm not really bought into this Denver team. I think plus 750 is a reasonable price post-trade for these Lakers.
Yeah, there is. Look, I can't hate it when you're talking about two of the best players in the world playing on this on the same court together, in the same uniform together, to be more specific. When we get to the playoffs, the type of experience those two have is huge. I can't get on board, though, with it, Joe, just because, I mean, look, I made a bet as soon as Luka got traded, and it was on the favorite Oklahoma City Thunder. I thought the biggest threat that they had to them was the Dallas Mavericks with Luka Doncic, and when they moved him to the Lakers, that made it time for me to finally pull the trigger. I got in a Thunder at plus 120, I believe. I think at plus money, it's still a good bet. This team has been so dominant. They are so deep. Redundancy at so many positions that they can throw at you, that even if they do have an injury or two, if it's not SGA, they should be okay. And I think you're looking at a Western Conference show that it's got a very, very good, deep amount of teams, but there's a separation between the greatness of the Thunder at the top and every other one of these teams. This Nuggets team, Nikola Jokic is amazing. He's the best player in the world. They're not as good as they were a year ago.
They are hot right now, though.
Not as good as they were a year ago. I don't fully trust the Lakers. I don't fully trust the Rockets. I don't fully trust the Clippers. And the, you know, Timberwolves, I think they took a step back with their roster. The Mavericks. Look, the Grizzlies are the biggest threat in my mind to the Thunder, but even though I think when you're looking at pure talent on this team across the board, they don't compare to what Oklahoma City's throwing out there.
Yeah, I struggled to trust Memphis down the stretch here. I mean, just threw the standings up. You notice two teams trending in the right direction. Denver, and even though they're down there in the seventh seed, right now they'd be in that play-in. Minnesota trending in the right direction from where they were earlier in the season. You got a couple teams trending in the wrong direction. Houston was in that 2-3 seed range not too long ago, and I think their youth is starting to show a little bit. It's why I thought Houston would have been a really exciting spot for Jimmy Butler to land, because they've got the young talent. I wanted to see the savvy vet, obviously, 35 years old, loads of playoff experience. I wanted to see Butler fit in with Houston. What's Golden State's ceiling right now? They're sitting there in that 10 spot. They've got Jimmy, obviously a big win at Milwaukee, but no Giannis for the Bucks. Steph puts up 38. How far can they go?
I think they're maybe the biggest wild card. I'm glad you brought them up, Joe, because I think it's a very, very interesting pairing, putting Jimmy Butler on that team. And I think it's either going to equal greatness or be a complete disaster. Draymond and Steph are either going to fit together so well. And Steph's made some comments already where it's interesting playing with Jimmy Butler because he's a complete opposite player of him. And it's true. I mean, you're talking about a guy. It's a type of player, though, they haven't had in a long time, really since Kevin Durant, of what attacking the rim on offense, being able to get to the free throw line consistently, take a little pressure off of that outside shooting that they rely on so much. And I think that's big offensively. Defensively, we know what he can do. It's just, you know, if Steph has a bad shooting night, Buddy Hield has a bad shooting night, does all of a sudden the Golden State Warriors that we've known for years as being this amazing three-point shooting team, do they have struggles now when you have Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green and the likes of those guys on the court? I could definitely be an issue, but man, I think it's an interesting grouping. The way that Kerr loves to run his offense, Steph runs it. It's such a savvy mental player is Jimmy Butler, that those guys I think are going to be able to play off each other pretty well. I'm really interested to see how it plays out there in Golden State.
It should work, but Butler getting a little long in the tooth. I mean, it almost feels like Golden State made a win now move in a year where they're sitting there at the 10 seed. I don't really think it's a win now season for Golden State. We'll see what they do next year, but Butler inks that extension, about 60 mil per year AAV. This is a guy who rarely plays 60 games. I mean, what were your thoughts on that extension? I don't like to complain about contracts. Thought it was absurd.
Yeah, it's a problem for another year, though, Joe, because I think the way you look at it now, if you're Golden State, you get a Jimmy Butler who's fresh because he hasn't played many games this year, and now you get him for the stretch run, rest of the regular season into the playoffs, having a lot less mileage on his legs than he normally would have at this point. You're right. I think it's a problem for another year. I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue this year, but it's definitely a good point. I mean, the extension was... Look, it was the only way they were going to get him,
right?
Is if they signed him to an extension. So you kind of got to take it for what it is, but it's going to be big money on the books the next couple years.
Team we were just talking about, Minnesota, trending in the right direction. Not so much last night. They lose to Cleveland 128-107. Started 0-16 from the floor. Edwards finishes with 44. He was pretty much the sole contributor to their offense. Is this more of an indictment on Minnesota, or does this show that Cleveland's the real deal, this blowout win for the Cavs?
Man, it is. Yeah, Cleveland just keeps doing it. It's getting hard to deny at this point. I don't know if I still am that big of a believer in them long term.
Be the one to win the East. I know. I mean, come on.
It's silly. I know. And I still think, look, they've been so good. I loved the addition of DeAndre Hunter. We'll see what it does down the stretch here, because that was always the question mark with this team. Would they have enough strength offensively and defensively on the wings to be able to compete? You don't see many teams constructed like they are, with so heavy at the guards and heavy down low with the bigs, and they were lacking a little bit on the wings. So adding DeAndre Hunter, I think, has the opportunity to be huge for them. But, man, I think when this Knicks team and Celtics team are healthy and playing well, they're still the two teams to beat in the Eastern Conference. Once we get to the playoffs, Joe, regular season basketball is another thing.
Knicks plus 450 to win the East. Any intrigue?
I'm intrigued, yes. Yeah. I'm intrigued.
Celtics, you're laying 5 cents. I can't get there.
No,
you can't have me lay money on the Celtics right now at this point.
No, they're not. And this is one of the toughest things to handicap in the NBA right now is figuring out, okay, are the Celtics – are there real problems, and if there are problems, how big of a deal are they, or how much of this is just them kind of cruising into the playoffs knowing they'll pick it up when they get there?
Yeah, I mean, look, Jason Tatum had a great game last night offensively with 33. I've seen too many duds. I've seen too many 16, 17, 18 point performances out of him lately in games that they lose. Not games that they're coasting, but games that they lose. So we'll see with Boston. Going to take a look at the NFL up next. I still haven't given my final thoughts on the Super Bowl. I had the day off yesterday. We'll dive into that, dive into some futures market stuff. It's a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo. It's a numbers game, taking you through this Monday morning, or excuse me, Tuesday morning.
Hey,
February 11th.
You're Monday.
What happens when you have Monday off? Exactly. Exactly. Gil had to get his Super Bowl thoughts in yesterday before taking a well-deserved vacation. I'm going to get my Super Bowl thoughts in right now, because Kelly, this is a game and a day that I have been thriving on. Covered my first Super Bowl. It was Super Bowl 52, Eagles-Patriots. Since going to Radio Row 7 straight years, that ended this year, covering the game, I was 6-1 against the number.
Okay.
The last 7 Super Bowls. That is now 6-2 after being on Kansas City. I believe you, me, and Gil were all Kansas City,
oh, yeah,
right? We were talking about that during my Vibe report the other day, which, by the way, we need to address something. Because, Kelly, I was a little insulted by this. When I signed off from the Vibe Report in their special hour-long Super Bowl Sunday edition of a numbers game, you called me out, and you should have done that to my face when I was on air. Called me out for my index cards in my hand.
Joe, it wasn't at you specifically. It was at the entire television business that we like to use props that have no purpose. But I was told that you had very important information on those cards. So I retract my statement. I'm sorry.
There was a lot of information on those index cards. I'd be lying if I said I looked at any.
I was going to say what doesn't surprise me, because Stephanie did tell me that Brian Ortega, as he does, worked very hard on compiling a lot of information for you, and I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't mean Joe looked at it at all.
No. I mean, something about 143-foot screen at Stadium Swim or whatever, and the 5 most bet props for the big game. Of course, I think none of them got home. It was all the Goddard overs and Xavier Worthy rushing over and Saquon over 110 or whatever it was. None of the 5 most bet props got home in this game.
Man, yeah, that's wild. That was on that Worthy one. Yeah, that was fun. That had no shot. Anyway, the Chiefs offense is still waiting to get going. Like they're still waiting to use their first like 6 plays that they planned.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely nothing that was scripted got going. It was just an absolute bloodbath. Reed had a receiver or a tight end, because Kelsey got a carry in Super Bowl 54. Run the ball all 4 Super Bowls prior to this one. Nothing going in this one. I mean, look, there's not much to say about it. It was an absolute and utter bloodbath. The one thing I got right about this game is last week on Cashing Out, I noted Kansas City, all 3 of their Super Bowl wins, Kelly, had fallen behind 10 points in all 3 of their wins. And the one thing I got right about this game was I said, if Kansas City goes down double digits in this one, they're not going to be able to pull off the comeback.
Yeah.
And So that's what I'm going to ride with, because props, side, everything, it was just a bloodbath Sunday.
Yeah, Gil and I both said the same thing, too. It was the one question Gil kept asking guests and everything, and that was the great one, because it was kind of the similar answer from everybody, was no matter if you were betting Chiefs or Eagles, if this game turned into a blowout, who was the winning team? And almost everybody answered the Eagles. So, right. I mean, that's exactly what ended up happening. And we talked a little bit about Drew Dinzik, who's joining us next segment. He brought this up too, of, you know, hey, the Chiefs, we've seen them trail in these games before. If you're going to look to bet Super Bowl MVP, it could be a good look at Mahomes live, because if they're going to come back, it's going to be on the arm of Patrick Mahomes. And that was kind of an angle that I had going into the game. But it was, man, it was, they were in so much trouble so quick, Joe. There was no thought of me to even pull the trigger on that bet, because, I mean, it was the
made
Eagles.
No sense.
Yeah, Eagles were running away with things before you'd even feel confident to make a bet like that.
Look, the only thing, and I was down so bad in this game, the only thing I looked at live, and I wish I had the guts to pull the trigger on it, because it actually would have gotten home. At halftime, the Eagles were laying 16.5 live. And you would think, down 24-0, oh, take the points, take Kansas City. But there was no semblance that there was any sort of a comeback about to be orchestrated.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the same about the over. I never ended up pulling the trigger. It was just, like, you thought at some point Kansas City had to score, but I was sitting there, one of the biggest props that I had bet was, would either team attempt a two-point conversion? So I'm sitting there at halftime, and you're thinking, well, I like my chances of this hitting still.
Down 24-0, yeah.
Down 24-0. As long as the Chiefs could score a touchdown, something I would never think I'd be worried about in a Super Bowl before. But, yeah, luckily they did, and they attempted multiple two-point conversions.
How about the line movement? Obviously, we're running the shots of the Gatorade getting dumped on Sirianni. That was odds on.
Yeah.
The yellow-green at the end. I mean, that was 3-1 earlier in the week, and that closed odds on.
So we were sitting here Friday. I believe I had the breaking news steam alerts on that. It was it had gotten down to minus 200 over at FanDuel. Now,
still need to win the game to get.
So, right, Joe, you're bringing up a point. So a couple people have asked me about this, because I don't know. I'm the Gatorade expert, apparently, when it comes to the Super Bowl. I love betting it. But the problem is that the whole handicap or the whole movement in the line, I assume, had nothing to do with Philadelphia. It was that someone thought or someone knew what was in the Chiefs' buckets. Because the yellow you could always kind of pair with Philly. It was the last color they used when they won a Super
right.
Bowl.
Fits
obviously,
with the uniforms.
Yes, the colors fit with the uniforms. So that was the only thing everybody asked me about a post game. And I'm like, no, but I want to know what was in the Chiefs bucket. Like, I don't really care what we saw. I want to know what was in the Chiefs
bucket. I'm convinced it was purple.
That's why
that was my play, purple, 2-1.
I mean, the other one that we saw on game day was the blue took a lot of money. Now, that might just be from...
Is that all you? Is that your money, Kelly?
That might just be from smart people out there that know blue is the best Gatorade to drink. So, I don't know.
This was just... I mean, this was one of the least enjoyable Super Bowls. It was the least since Kansas City's last loss. And I was at that game, mm-hmm. Chiefs-Tampa. And it was like deja vu. Yogi Berra would say deja vu all over again, right? I mean, watching this game unfold, it was just like Chiefs-Bucks, where you knew, I mean, look, like I said, they've fallen down 10 and won 3 Super Bowls after trailing by 10. That Tampa Bay game in Tampa, you knew the way Mahomes was running for his life, that it was over early. And this was an even more extreme version of that. At least they got some field goals on the board in that game. You know, this was a more extreme version of that. Where you just see Patrick Mahomes on 4-man rushes. That was the part that got me. They didn't blitz once.
Yeah,
it was
wild.
4-man rushes.
This is the worst one I can remember in a long time. Yeah, like that, even that Tampa one you're talking about, at least it was like it had the allure of Mahomes and Brady, right? It was this the only time we were going to see that matchup in the Super Bowl. And, you know, that's how it played out. And you're right, it was ugly. But, man, this game was over and over quick. And like you're talking about, the Eagles didn't have to blitz. It was the pressure was in his face constantly. The offense couldn't get started in the game.
No, it had no shot from the start. And how about this tweet from Next Gen Stats? The Eagles did not blitz once across 42 dropbacks in the Super Bowl. Just the fourth defense to not blitz in a game in the Next Gen Stats era. Relying on their front four, the Eagles generated 16 pressures. 42 dropbacks, that's 16 pressures. And they sacked Mahomes 6 times, the most in a single game in his career. You know, it's funny, I had to look at that Tampa Super Bowl. I believe he was only actually sacked 3 times that game. But there was a stat I recalled, and when we were at a Super Bowl party at one of our colleagues' place, And I remember saying this and thinking after I said it, wait, Joe, did that sound stupid? Was that not a real stat? And it was. I was right. The number was just so egregious. Mahomes in the Tampa Bay game ran 495 yards that game.
Mm.
Scrambling behind the line of scrimmage. Yeah, yeah. Like all of it. 495 yards. Literally running for his life. Five football fields.
Oh, man. That's an exhausting amount.
Yeah. And then what happened to Kansas City the next year? They got to the AFC Championship game, but they lost it. They had that Super Bowl loser hangover. So as we look at the odds for the next Super Bowl, Super Bowl 60, San Francisco next year. Eagles, no surprise, the favorites at 6-1. Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, all 7-1. Detroit, 9-1. And then when we get to the Niners and beyond, 15-1. And up there, Washington, Cincinnati, Green Bay, all tied at 18-1. Kelly, for Kansas City to get back there, 7-1, what needs to be their focus this offseason? In the draft, how do they rebuild? Is it O-line, O-line, O-line? I'm hearing people talk about weapons. To me, the weapons are not the biggest deal. Although, D-Hop, obviously, that drop when he was wide open, it made me think maybe they need better weapons. But to me, it's all offensive line, and they're probably going to lose Trey Smith.
Yeah, I think it's I think that's the pretty easy and correct answer, right? It is offensive line. Because we've seen, Mahomes answered that question last year after Tyreek Hill had left, right? Yeah. What can he do this
twice after Tyreek left
with just some dudes, right? And then he's done it 2 years in a row, so I'm not really worried. Of course, both him and Josh Allen, even Josh Allen's gotten into this realm, right? Sure, would an upgrade at wide receiver be nice? Yeah. Does he really need it though? That you need to go overpay for something? Not at all. So I do expect, yes, it's going to be draft and for maybe even free agency. They got to address that offensive line. You have the best weapon in football. He can't do anything though if there's a guy in his face every single down.
Right. He can make Mecole Hardman look good if he's got time in the pocket. He can make Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Shoot, Patrick Mahomes can even make Kadarius Toney look good if he has enough time. But if he doesn't have time, he can't get the ball to, it doesn't matter if you give him Tyreek Hill again. If he doesn't have time, he can't get the ball there. So I think it all comes down to the trenches. I'm also mad at myself because as good as my Super Bowl picking streak was, I deviated from what I usually pick, and it's which team is better in the trenches.
Yeah.
And I've deviated from that twice. Tampa, Philly. And those are the two losses last 8 years.
It's one of those. A lot of us said it. You're going to feel like an idiot either way if you lose this game, right? Because of that. You knew that they had advantage on Philly had an advantage on
every
both
position
sides
except
of the ball.
Quarterback.
Right. It's offensive line and defensive line. There was such an advantage there that ended up playing out. Joe, I'll tell you real quick on the odds of this. Mm-hmm. The biggest surprise to me is how much these have moved since they opened.
You've
seen the Lions take money, the Niners take money, the Bengals take a little bit of money, which none of those are big surprises. Surprised me, but usually we don't see this type of movement this early on.
I'm going back to the Ravens, I think. Gonna have our guy Drew Dinzik up next from NBC Sports Edge. It's a numbers game. Don't go anywhere.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention, all serious sports bettors. If you're thinking about playing in the 2025 Circa Million or Survivor Contest, now's the time to get ahead of the game with Winner's Circle Proxy and VSiN. Sign up today for exclusive offers, including a drawing for a free Circa Contest entry with Proxy Service. Plus, lock in special pricing on Winner's Circle Proxy Service for 2025. And as a bonus, you'll get access to expert contest strategies from past winners and VSiN pros. So don't wait. Head to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. A numbers game continues. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo. As we get ready to take you over to the Progressive Guest Line, welcome in our friend from NBC Sports Edge and the Deep Dive Podcast, Drew Dinzik, into the program. Drew, how you doing, my friend? Congrats on a bloodbath for myself Sunday, but you did some pretty serious damage, didn't you?
Yes, fly Eagles fly. We're an Eagles household here. Or at least we were on Sunday. Really all playoffs. I bet the Eagles every round of the playoffs. The market never caught up with that team. Kind of last second final thoughts handicap was these guys are the Monstars, and I don't care if Pat Mahomes is on the other side of the field. Like this is how this is going to go down. And ultimately the game state being so in their favor, getting the first score and then kind of letting things roll downhill with, kind of unleashing that pass rush early, getting the key turnover early. It was certainly a matter of, I think, right handicap combined with just optimal game state. But it is exceedingly rare that I have a bet of consequence that is going to make or break my day, week, month, year. And then it goes down as enjoyably as that. So I will take it.
Joe, Monstars is a reference to the 1996.
Oh, come on. I've seen Space Jam. Maybe born in 98, but I grew up on that movie. All right, come on.
Oh, man. Drew, I know you were down in New Orleans, so I got to do the usual question, best food of or course. Drink you had while you were down there.
The best food I had was was oysters. I'll tell a quick funny story. It's hard to choose. I had so many great meals and a lot of great experiences. Got recommended a local place that had, you know, fresh oysters from all over the United States. And the menu was so overwhelming that I was like, God, I'm going to get it. And I took three guys with me who had never had raw oysters in their life.
What?
And I'm talking them up and I'm like, yeah, you guys got to give them a try. This will be a good experience. Good life lesson for you guys. And we walk in and I was like, man, like PEI, Washington, Florida, Tampa, like Gulf Coast. Like, oh my gosh. Like there's so many places that like I want to try. And one of the choices of the dozen was Shucker's Choice. And I was like, well, can't go wrong with Shucker's Choice. And so they bring out this plate of oysters and half of the dozen were these wild caught Superior Louisiana oysters that were absolute monsters. Like these oysters were the monsters, and you know, an oyster as big as your hand and it's raw. And it's like, I had been talking this place up. I had been talking oysters up. I had been complaining that I had not gotten good oysters the whole time I'd been there so far. And then they served this plate and I have to, in front of the colleagues and friends that I brought with me to this place, eat the largest oyster I've seen in my life times five. But ultimately the experience was worth it. And we had martinis and oysters on the half shell that were just absolutely spectacular. So that will be the most memorable food and drink experience that I have coming out of the New Orleans Super Bowl.
Five raw oysters the size of your hand. That's why they're an aphrodisiac. Just watching someone do that is the biggest turn on imaginable. Drew, let's get to the it's a pretty light NBA slate tonight. Four games. My Knicks taking on Indiana. A little playoff rematch from a year ago. Anything you like in that contest?
I gotta say, like, I've had a tough time pricing the Knicks all season because it's been pretty volatile. And in the absence of OG Anunoby lately, I've kind of lost a little bit of confidence that this is a team that's going to make any type of noise. It's a neutral rest game. You know, Indiana has been pretty uninspiring. I bet them twice last week against the Jazz and the Blazers. They needed a miracle to beat the Jazz, did not come close to covering, and then just lost outright to the Blazers. So Indiana's dead to me right now. The Knicks are kind of waning for me, so I'm not going to have any skin in that one. The only bet on my card for tonight in the NBA is the Chicago Bulls. I'm taking on the Pistons here. I know the Pistons are, they're a darling. They are sort of the kind of feel good story, I feel like, heading into this All-Star break. And Chicago, of course, kind of tearing things down a bit. I still think 5 points is too many. I think Detroit is, to me at least, they look like they need a break. And I think that Chicago is going to be pretty competitive here. I like sort of some of what I'm seeing from the youth movement there that they're starting now in Chicago. And I think Detroit, while ultimately is going to clearly be in the mix for the playoffs this year, I think that this is a decent time to sell a bit high on them. So five is a big number for Detroit on the road against Chicago.
Bulls 17-3 against the Pistons in their last 20 matchups, because, you know, the Pistons have been pretty bad. Yeah, that is right. That is right, Drew Titzik. That is right. Okay, so that's all you got on the card tonight. We were talking a little bit during the break about some futures. I fired on OKC to win the West as soon as Luka got moved. It was kind of waiting for that time. We hit on it a bit last week when you were on the show. Joe and I were talking about it for a segment. Luka makes his debut last night. Any takeaways from that? And then how do you see this Western Conference shaking out?
It's going to be absolutely fascinating, because I'm getting a sense that we're gonna have one of these old school wars between the numbers guys and, like, the old school sharps. if you don't know how kind of the old school Sharps handicap an NBA playoff series, it is literally who's got the best player. And the reason is that the margins once you're in an NBA playoff series, particularly if you're out of the first round, comes down to, you know, who like the later the series goes, any kind of offensive vision you have, any kind of system, any kind of plays that work, all of that collapses on itself because you solve your opponent as you get deeper into the series. And it becomes more and more important to just, can your best offensive creator generate a shot in a key moment? And it's fascinating to kind of look, you know, to kind of step back and see where the Thunder are in the West right now, because I think unequivocally right now, people would say, you know, SGA is your MVP this season. But I also think there's a sort of an unequivocal sharp opinion that, like, if he was in a series against Jokic, I think people think Jokic is a better player. If he's in a series against Doncic, I think people think Doncic is a better player, right? And even if he's in a series against like Steph Curry and the boogeyman himself, Jimmy Butler, like, you know, like there are certainly like a path for OKC where they will be picked against just because of sort of the star power of the kind of the heliocentric nature of their opponent and the offensive elite capabilities of their best player. And like, I kind of get it. Like, this Thunder team on paper looks like a super team. Like, they grade out as rare air good. And some of that is because the West has been so weak otherwise for the balance of the season. Some of that is because they're extremely deep. Like, they've been completely resilient and resistant to any type of fatigue all season long. Like, they were huge fatigue disadvantage recently to the Grizzlies. Didn't matter. Handle the Grizzlies easy. And that's kind of what you get when you have this super deep team. And so they're putting together this statistical resume that just looks absolutely unbeatable. And they're getting Chet Holmgren back. Yes. They're going to add another important player to the mix. And so, you know, you think of like, well, what is fair price in the West? Like, what would reasonable series prices be, even in their worst case? It's really, really tough to defend anything in the plus money range. It's going to be like minus 150, maybe minus 200. I've heard kind of very sharp people say as high as like minus 300, they think is sort of what fair kind of is floating around here. So I'm kind of doing a gut check here of which side of this war I'm going to be on. Do we go, you know, just straight into the math answer here and just fire Thunder, expecting that ultimately this could be like 14-15 Warriors, right? Where right. they are the team that was promised, and their path happens to be relatively soft, right? Like, there's like a world where it's Kings, Rockets, Grizzlies for the Thunder, and then in that world, their Western Conference fair price is like a minus 600, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like not even in, it's not even close to what you can bet right now. Relatively high stakes in that market, and then there's another world where it's Warriors, Lakers, Nuggets, and all of a sudden, like, you could see the experts and the talking heads kind of going against the Thunder at every step of the way, just because this is a core that has only ever won one playoff series. And when they were really put feet to the fire last year, they did not come up with the answers they needed against Luka. So I'm not fully decided yet. I have bet Thunder, but not like over my skis staked this yet. Considering that all of the Super Bowl money has been counted, it's time to make a decision.
Had to throw that last reminder in there that he had a great Sunday.
It took all of Monday to do it, but yeah, he's got it. Count it all up.
Yeah, it took me all of Monday to go through my losses. Drew, appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
All right, best of luck, you guys.
Follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. Drew Dinzik, always appreciate the time. John Fanta on the other side. We take it from the NBA to college hoops here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers Game continues here on a Tuesday morning. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serralo. I'm excited to take it back to the Progressive guest line here now. Welcome in our friend, college hoops broadcaster over on Fox, John Fanta, into the program. John, how are you, man? Welcome into the show.
You guys are not talking to John Fanta.
Go. Oh. We got to screw up here then. Well, wrong number.
Oh, that is too good. You guys thought you booked John Fanta?
Oh, yeah, we sure did. We sure did. I'm sorry.
That's what we were told, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Okay, we got numbers screwed up there. It's got numbers screwed up. Who do we got on?
Oh, that's good. My name is John. You guys got that part of it right. I am a college basketball broadcaster.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, I will say this, though, before you guys let me go. John Fanta is an incredible human being, and I completely understand why you would want to have him on your show.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we are so sorry about the confusion here. I am so sorry. But look,
real quick, can I give myself like a social media pump since I'm a victim here?
Sure, absolutely.
I'm obviously a victim.
Absolutely.
Here. You can follow my work on X, John Martin 929. I am on Field of 68. John is my coworker, so I could see where this would get mixed up.
John, we must have screwed up numbers. You want to stick around and talk some college hoops with us?
John, we got a jam-packed Tuesday slate. Yeah. Why don't you hang around?
Yeah. We already got you, man.
That's fine. That's fine. Let's do it.
All right. Awesome. Let's start with the Big East, man. Creighton, UConn. We've got a rematch here. The Jays have already gone into Connecticut taking care of the Huskies. What do you like in this game tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of times what you deal with is the market kind of acts, right? And the first move was on UConn here, and it's understandable because, you know, this UConn team's getting a little healthier. I mean, you kind of did see the difference there in the early parts of that game against St. John's, the difference that Liam McNeely makes, clearly. You know, I do think St. John's a tough matchup for them because St. John's, I think, is probably the toughest team in America, and they just don't stop punching. And you know, Creighton's a little different. You know, Creighton's built a little differently. They're more going to be the finesse, you know, the skill. And so, you know, I think you get a UConn team that's really hungry tonight. I don't know how much meat on the bone there still is at three, but I'm still inclined to take the points here with UConn against a Creighton team that's been flying super high. They're really good. Like, I'm not trying to take that away, but I think this UConn team responds tonight and finds a way to spring the upset on the road.
Yeah, Dan Hurley after a loss, always scary to go up against. Let's take it to the SEC. A lot of action in that conference tonight. Alabama got them yesterday, laying 3 at Texas. This number now 4.5 at most shops. Does that 1 point to 1.5 difference make you inclined to take the points with Texas? What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, so, you know, a couple of guys I talked to, you know, and when I'm doing college basketball stuff and, you know, college basketball betting, I mean, they love this spot for Alabama. You know, Texas, you know, we talk about, you have an arrow, right? The arrow points up, the arrow points down. And I think for this Texas team, the arrow is pointing down. I love Trey Johnson. Like, they have sort of individual talent, but, you know, I'm not really a big fan of backing a team that's kind of led by Arthur Cologne, but like, he's just an inefficient player. You know, they're dealing with some injuries. You know, I don't know if Weaver's in. I like Weaver, but if he's not in there, you know, I don't really have a lot of interest in Texas. So I would be inclined to take Bama. Although, again, you know, this is a second straight road game for them, you know, in the SEC. Like, right, these do kind of catch up with you. So I don't love it at 3. Like, you are paying a bit of a tax relative to what you see on KenPom and Torvik. But, you know, if I was to take a side in this one, I would go Bama.
John Martin with us right now on the Progressive Guest Line. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at JohnMartin929. Catch his great work over at the Field of 68 and, of course, on 92.9 ESPN Radio as well. Sticking in the SEC, you look at a team coming off a big win here at the top-ranked Auburn Tigers. Florida now, a couple days later, they've got to go to Starkville. Tough environment. It's all being factored in. It's why the third-ranked Gators are only laying 1.5. Would you lay it with them, John?
See, this is another one of those spots, right? This is another one of those, like, if I have a manual, like a blackjack manual, it would say you bet Mississippi State. Like, I understand that. I do. But, like, why would I not be inclined to lay the points with Florida? I mean, this Mississippi State team has definitely faded once they hit SEC play. And I realize, like, Florida's got some injury issues. I understand all that. But, look, they were competitive at Kentucky in a game where Kentucky shot the absolute lights out. We know what they just did at Auburn. They just smacked Tennessee in a revenge spot. I mean, is it possible that they just have an unbelievably bad shooting night with that Mississippi State defense? It is, but, you know, if you modify this, I mean, if you look at KenPom, if you look at the Torvik modified things, I mean, there's really nothing that's going to get you to Mississippi State +1.5 here. So you're just really betting the spot, and I'll be honest, guys, like, I hate doing that. I hate betting spots. I mean, I know that in college basketball, like they come in. I realize that, but if I don't have the math to support it and my eyes don't support it, it's likely to stay away from me. This got down to a pick this morning at some spots, and it immediately got bet back. And I think that's correct. I think Florida, it might be close. It might be one possession type of game, but I don't really feel like I'm getting any kind of discount betting Mississippi State here. So it would be Florida or pass for me.
I'd have to imagine if you're on Mississippi State, you probably also like the under 152.5, because I just don't think the Bulldogs can keep up with Florida's shooting. If this one becomes a high scoring game, it's going to be all Florida all night. Sticking with an interesting spot here, Kentucky hosting Tennessee. They've already gone to Knoxville and beaten the Vols. Now they're catching 3 at home in Lexington. Can the Wildcats go 2-0 against Tennessee this year?
You know, I have not really been able to get on the right side of this Tennessee team all season, man. Like, when I thought that they were going to really take off, like, I bet them both times. Actually, here's what I did. I bet them on the road at Florida.
Yeah, me too, man.
They screwed me there. And then I bet Florida on the road at Tennessee, and that was even before Ziegler and Miličić were ruled out, and I managed to get that game wrong twice. So I have not really been the Tennessee basketball whisperer this season. But I really would be inclined to take the points at home with Kentucky. Lamont Butler's playing. Like, obviously, it is a revenge spot for Tennessee because Kentucky went in there and won. But I don't know. I think it's just a big switch when you go from playing at Oklahoma with a bunch of freshmen and no rim protection to on the road now to Kentucky, who's got a bunch of different bigs, getting healthier, and I think they just run the best offense in college basketball. So, I mean, is it possible they shut the water off? Sure, but I would take the points with the home dog here.
Yeah, I like the spot for Kentucky, too. Mark Pope's team can certainly shoot the lights out. Let's shift gears a little bit to some Big 12 action. You talked about earlier with Florida, Mississippi State betting the spot, and that's not necessarily your thing to do if the numbers don't back it up. Kansas State getting a lot of love here as a 3.5-point dog at home against an Arizona team that's as hot as anyone in the country. Would you lay the 3.5 with Arizona, or do you think Kansas State does to them what they've done to a couple other high-profile opponents lately?
Yeah, I mean, actually, Kansas State is the hottest team in America. I know a lot of people, and the bar was low, to be clear. Like, they were a disaster to start the season. But if you go back to January 20th, which is an arbitrary date that I'm using just to support my argument, which I would recommend anybody do, right?
Absolutely. And I appreciate you admitting that, because we all do it, but we don't all admit it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we got to admit it. Kansas State's number one at Torvik since January 20th. They just beat Kansas. They won at Arizona State. Obviously, they have they beat the brakes off Iowa State. I think this is a good spot at home for Kansas State. I do. I mean, I realize that at some point the carriage probably does turn back into a pumpkin, but, like, let's not forget, I mean, they spent more in the portal in NIL than basically anybody. So the talent is there, and Coleman Hawkins has shown the kind of matchup nightmare he can be. So I don't know. I think you're kind of catching a little bit of a discount here with Kansas State at home. Obviously, 3 weeks ago, it would have been a much bigger number, but I think still, when you look at their recent form, Arizona's a great team, man. I'm not trying to take anything away from them, but I've got this closer to a pick. So I would absolutely be on Kansas State plus 3, 3.5 here.
John, really appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much for hopping on. Appreciate the picks.
Yeah, no problem, fellas. Appreciate it.
Have a great one. Follow him again on Twitter at JohnMartin929. Catch his terrific work over at the Field of 68. Folks, sports betting never slows down, and neither should you. With the Daytona 500 coming this weekend, the NBA and NHL in full swing, the PGA Tour underway, and baseball as well as March Madness right around the corner, there is no shortage of action to wager on. Start betting smarter now with a VSiN Pro subscription. For as little as $9.99, you'll get a daily email with all the plays from hosts and their guests, expert analysis, deep dive stats, and exclusive insights to help you make the smartest picks. Don't place your bets unprepared. Get full access today for only $9.99 your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe.
All right. Well, thanks for John Martin for playing along there. That worked well.
I have never seen that happen before. And
my bad, Joe.
It was great. It was a blast.
John's great.
First day on a numbers game, 2 weeks to go. Who's counting? Back after this.